Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
At first, she assumed it was just part of adjusting to a new house. Moving with a young child always came with a stretch where nothing felt fully settled. Sleep was inconsistent, routine shifted, and even normal sounds felt unfamiliar for a while. During those first few weeks, she didn't pay attention to anything that didn't feel urgent. If she woke up in the middle of the night, she usually went right back to sleep without thinking much about why. That was why it took longer than it should have to notice what was happening. It wasn't crying that woke her. It wasn't anything loud or sudden. It was quieter than that, just enough to pull her out of sleep without fully waking her at first. A voice, faint and steady, coming from down the hall. In the beginning, she assumed it was part of a dream, something her mind was carrying over into that half-awake state where things don't separate cleanly. Then one night she realized it wasn't. She had already been awake for a few minutes when it started. The house was completely still, the kind of silence that only settles in the middle of the night when everything has finally gone quiet. She hadn't heard her son get out of bed. There hadn't been any movement at all. Just his voice, low and steady, coming from his room. She stayed where she was for a moment, listening. He had talked in his sleep before. Short, disconnected things that didn't mean anything, sometimes followed by him rolling over or briefly waking. This was different. There was a rhythm to it. Pauses in the right places, like he was listening for a response before speaking again. That was what made her get up. She walked into the hallway slowly, not wanting to startle him, if he was half asleep. The door to his room was slightly open, just enough for a thin strip of light from the nightlight to spill into the hall. When she stepped closer, she could see him sitting up in bed. That was the first thing that didn't feel right. He wasn't fully upright, not alert in the way he would be if he had woken up and needed something. He was just sitting there, shoulders slightly forward, turned toward the far side of the room. It looked normal at a glance, but the longer she watched, the more it felt off. He kept talking, not loudly, not excited or upset, just calm, steady conversation, the way you would talk to someone sitting across from you. She stood in the doorway longer than she meant to, trying to hear if there was anything else in the room. There wasn't. No second voice, no movement, nothing to explain who he was talking to. She said his name. He stopped immediately. Not gradually, not like someone coming out of a dream. It was instant. He turned toward her, his expression neutral, like she had interrupted him, but not in a way that mattered. There was no confusion, no hesitation. She asked him what he was doing. He told her he was talking. She asked him to who. He shrugged slightly and said it was just someone, like it wasn't an important detail. There was nothing in his voice that suggested he thought it was strange. She told him to lie back down. And he did, without hesitation. Within a minute or two, he was asleep again, breathing evenly like nothing had happened. She stayed in the room a little longer, watching him, waiting to see if he would sit up again or start talking. When he didn't, she convinced herself it was nothing. Kids talked in their sleep. They imagined things. It didn't mean anything. The next night it happened again. This time she noticed the time, and it was just after 2 a.m. The same quiet voice carried through the hallway, low enough that she almost could have ignored it if she hadn't been listening for it. She got up right away and walked to his room, already expecting to see him sitting the way he had the night before. He was in the same position, same direction, facing toward the far side of the room where there was nothing but a dresser and the wall behind it. He was talking again in that same steady rhythm, with those same small pauses. She stood in the doorway again, listening more carefully. His words were clearer this time, not because he was speaking louder, but because she was fully awake. It sounded like a normal conversation, just without the other person. She stepped into the room and said his name. He stopped instantly and turned toward her. She asked him again who he was talking to. This time he gave her an answer. He said, "The man." There was nothing dramatic about the way he said it. No fear, no hesitation, no sense that it meant anything unusual. It was the kind of answer you'd expect if you asked a simple question. She asked him, "What man?" He looked past her briefly, not focusing on anything specific, just somewhere beyond the doorway. Then he said, "The one who comes in." That was the first time she didn't have an explanation ready. She didn't push it any further that night. She told him to go back to sleep, and he did without any resistance. By the time she went back to her own room, the house had settled again into the same quiet it had been in before. The next morning, she brought it up again. She expected his answer to change. Usually when kids said things like that, it didn't hold up the next day. They forgot, or they gave a different answer, or they said they didn't remember at all. He didn't. He told her the same thing. He said the man came in at night. He said he talked to him. He said it wasn't scary. That last part should have made her feel better. It didn't. Over the next several nights, the pattern stayed exactly the same. It always happened around the same time, always with that same tone in his voice. He would sit up, turn toward that same part of the room, and talk as if he were continuing something that had already started before she walked in. Every time she interrupted him, it ended the same way. He stopped immediately, gave a simple answer, then went back to sleep. What unsettled her wasn't just that it kept happening. It was that he never seemed surprised by it. Like it wasn't new. Like it was something he expected. Like it was part of his night in a way she wasn't aware of. By the end of the first week, she stopped telling herself it would go away, because nothing about it was changing, except one thing. The last night it happened, she heard something she hadn't heard before. She was already awake when his voice started, listening from the hallway before she even got up. At first, it sounded the same as every other night, the same calm tone, the same steady rhythm, and then there was a pause, not the usual pause of listening, but something longer. She stayed where she was, not moving, just listening. Then she heard him say, clearly and without hesitation, "Okay." A few seconds passed, and then he said, "You're not coming back after tonight." That was the moment everything shifted, because nothing about that sounded like imagination, and nothing about it sounded like something a child would come up with on their own. After that night, she expected it to stop, not because she had any real reason to believe it would, but because the way he had said it felt final. It hadn't sounded like imagination or something made up in the moment. It had sounded like he was repeating something that had already been decided. By the time she went back to bed, she was more awake than she had been all week, lying there and listening for anything that might start up again. Nothing did. The house stayed quiet for the rest of the night, the same steady silence that had been there before all of this started. When she checked the time again, it had already passed the point where it normally happened. That alone should have been enough to make her feel relieved, but it didn't. It just felt like something had shifted without her understanding why. The next night she stayed up. She didn't tell anyone she was doing it. She just went through the normal routine, put him to bed, and waited. The hours moved slower than she expected, and she caught herself checking the time more than once without meaning to. Just before it reached the usual point, she went into his room and sat in the chair near the door, keeping the lights low so she wouldn't disturb him. He slept the way he always did, moving occasionally but never waking fully. Nothing about him seemed different. If she hadn't already seen it herself, she wouldn't have believed anything was happening, and the time passed. Nothing happened. She stayed there longer than she needed to, listening for even the smallest change in his breathing or movement. It didn't come. Eventually, she got up and went back to her room, telling herself it was over. The following night was the same. No voice, no movement, no sign that anything had ever been happening in the first place. The routine that had felt so fixed for days disappeared completely, like it had never existed. She brought it up once, casually, asking him if he remembered talking at night. He didn't. Not even a little. He looked at her the way he normally did when she asked about dreams, like it wasn't something that carried over into the next day. There was no hesitation, no recognition. Just a simple answer that didn't go any further than that? That should have settled it. For a while, it almost did. Days passed, then weeks, and the house went back to feeling like it had before. The nights were quiet. He slept through them without any interruption, and whatever had been happening didn't leave anything behind that she could point to. There were no sounds, no changes, nothing that suggested it had ever been real. If it had ended there, she might have convinced herself that it had all been a phase. Something tied to the move or the adjustment to a new place. Something that had felt more significant at the time than it actually was. But what stayed with her wasn't what she had seen. It was what he had said. The way he had said it, not just the words, but the certainty behind them. It didn't feel like a guess or something he had come up with on his own. It felt like he had been told something and was repeating it back without questioning it. She found herself listening when she passed his room at night, even when everything was quiet. She would pause for a second longer than she needed to just to be sure. Nothing ever came from it. The nights stayed still. Over time, even that faded. Life moved forward the way it always does, filling in the space where something unusual had been. The memory of it didn't disappear, but it became less immediate. Something she thought about occasionally, rather than something she was actively trying to understand. It wasn't until much later that it came back to her in a way that didn't feel so easy to dismiss. It happened during a conversation she hadn't expected to mean anything. They were sitting together one evening, years removed from when it had all taken place. He was older by then, old enough that most of those early childhood years had blurred into the kind of vague memories that don't hold much detail. She wasn't thinking about it when she brought it up again. It came out the way those things sometimes do, without much thought behind it. She asked if he remembered anything about the house when they first moved in. He didn't, at least not in any clear way. He mentioned a few small things, the kind of details you'd expect, where his room was, the way the hallway looked, nothing out of the ordinary. She almost left it there. Then she asked him if he remembered talking at night. There was a pause this time, not a long one, but enough that she noticed it. He didn't look confused, he didn't laugh it off or say he didn't remember. He just sat there for a second like he was deciding how to answer. Then he said he didn't remember the talking. He said he remembered something else, and that was the part she hadn't expected. She asked him what he meant, trying to keep her voice neutral so she wouldn't lead him into an answer. He took a second before responding. Not because he seemed unsure, but because it felt like he was trying to describe something that didn't translate easily into words. He said he remembered knowing when it was going to stop, but not hearing it, not seeing anything, just knowing. He said there was a night where it felt different, like something had changed, and that after that it was over. He didn't describe it in a way that sounded dramatic. It was almost casual, like he was talking about something that had made sense to him at the time and didn't need to be questioned. She asked him if he remembered why. He shook his head, said it just felt like it was done. That answer stayed with her longer than anything else had. Not because it explained anything, because it didn't. It didn't connect to anything she had seen or heard. It didn't match the way she remembered those nights, standing in the doorway and listening to a conversation that only had one side to it. It didn't give her anything to work with, any way to understand what had been happening, and just added something new to it, something she hadn't known at the time, that whatever had been happening in that room, it hadn't just ended. It had been finished. And the only person who seemed to understand that was the one she had never been able to hear. What stayed with her wasn't the nights themselves, but how cleanly they ended. For a long time, she told herself that should have been the comforting part. Whatever it was, it hadn't lingered or changed into something worse. It followed a pattern, stayed consistent, and then, without warning, it stopped. If she had been telling the story to someone else, that was probably how she would have framed it. But that wasn't how it felt when she thought about it on her own. Because things that don't have a cause don't usually have an ending that clean. That was the part that never sat right. The weeks after it stopped were quiet in a way that felt complete rather than normal, not unnaturally silent, just settled in a way that left nothing to notice. She still found herself checking out of habit, pausing in the hallway for a moment longer than she needed to, listening for something that wasn't there anymore. But eventually, even that faded. Life moved forward, routines replaced routines, and the memory of those nights shifted into something less immediate, something she could put aside. Years passed, and the house became just a place they had lived once, tied to a specific stretch of time that didn't follow them into anything that came after. There were no repeats, no similar experiences, nothing that suggested it had been anything more than a strange phase that had resolved on its own. That was the version she settled on because it was the easiest one to live with. Still, every so often, something small would bring it back. Not the nights themselves, but the details around them, the time, the consistency, the way he had never questioned it while it was happening. More than anything, it was the way he had said it that last night, like he was repeating something that had already been decided. She didn't bring it up again for a long time after that first conversation, not because she was avoiding it, but because there didn't seem to be anything left to ask. He didn't remember the talking, only that vague sense of knowing it would end, and there was nothing to build on. Until one evening, when it came up again, without her meaning for it to. They had been talking about something unrelated, just a casual conversation about sleep and routines, the way kids settle into patterns without realizing it, and it drifted back to those early years without much effort. This time, she didn't ask if he remembered talking. Instead, she asked him what it had felt like. He took a moment before answering, not because he seemed unsure, but because it wasn't something he had thought about in a long time. When he did answer, it wasn't complicated. He said it didn't feel like talking, and that was the first thing that didn't line up. She asked him what he meant, keeping her tone neutral, not wanting to push him in any direction. He leaned back slightly, thinking it through, and then said it felt more like listening. That answer stayed with her because it didn't match what she had heard. She had stood in that doorway more than once, listening to him speak clearly in full sentences, with pauses that sounded like part of a conversation. It had been structured, steady, and unmistakably one-sided. But that wasn't how he remembered it. He said it felt like someone was explaining things to him, not quickly and not in a way that felt rushed, but like something that took time. He couldn't describe what those things were, only that he understood them at the time, even if he didn't remember them now. She asked him if he remembered seeing anything. He shook his head and said it wasn't like that. He said he knew where to look, but there was nothing there to see. It wasn't visual, just present in a way that didn't need to be explained. That was the point where the story stopped feeling like something that had happened in the past and started feeling like something that had never really been understood at all, because everything she had assumed about it no longer matched what he was describing. She asked him one more question before letting it go. She asked him how he knew it was over. This time he didn't hesitate. He said it stopped coming in, not gradually, not less often, but completely. It just didn't come in anymore. She didn't respond right away. The wording stayed with her longer than she expected, not because it was dramatic, but because it was so simple. It changed the way she remembered those nights. She had always thought of it as something already in the room, something that existed there, whether she understood it or not. That wasn't how he described it, and he described it like something that had been arriving. The difference was small on the surface, but once she noticed it, it didn't go away. She thought back to the way he had sat in bed, facing that same part of the room every time, speaking in that steady rhythm she could never quite understand. At the time, she had assumed she was seeing all of it, that whatever was happening was contained in that space, and now she wasn't so sure. Because if it had been something that came in, then there had been a point where it wasn't there, a point where it was, and a point where it stopped. She had never heard anything herself beyond his voice, not once. And for a long time, that had been enough for her to believe there was nothing else there. But the more she thought about it, the harder that was to believe. The house had been quiet after that, completely, perfectly quiet. At the time, that had felt like an ending, and now it felt like something else. Like whatever had been happening had followed its own timing, done whatever it had come to do, and then left. Not because anything had stopped it, and not because it had been discovered, but simply because it was finished. And the only person who had ever seemed to understand that was the one she had never been able to hear at all.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now, so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day, only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.